Let me begin again in the Kenyan way of greeting. Praise the Lord. I am here again just to thank you for everything. Thank you for the warm welcome. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for the gifts and thank you for everything. I cannot thank you enough for what you have done to us and to the Lord, but I can only say, may the Almighty God bless you. Keep on shining the light of Jesus Christ in this dark world. Amen. And God will bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I thank God this evening. I'm very happy to be here. And more so, to see your faces again. Those who are here in the afternoon, from morning and afternoon, and those who are not there, I welcome you all in the presence of the Lord, that we may all come and eat from our Father's table. Amen. That he has prepared for us. I'm very sorry. In the afternoon, sometimes I was jumping up and shouting and making a lot of noise. I may or I may not do the same this evening. But the only thing that I know is that we are going to have a short session. I said in the afternoon, when we were in the service, that the last words are taken seriously. And therefore, I want to share with you what the Lord has placed in my heart this night. And then the praise and worship team will come back and we'll have some little time to release ourselves to God, just to enjoy his presence and allow the Holy Spirit to take over. Thank you very much, Pastor Tony and Sue, for allowing us to be here and giving us the opportunity to talk to the children of God. Amen. I want us to read from the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, verse 16 to 18. And then we will jump to 22. Galatians. Maybe those who have got Bibles, I hope you're there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and I will read up to 18, then skip again to 22. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then I skip to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, in kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And I skip to verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. May God bless the word of his reading this evening. Maybe I will quote or read some few scriptures along the way before we finish. I want to talk to you a little bit about operating in the supernatural. Everything will remain and continue happening the way it is happening until you get into the supernatural, until you rise above the natural and start operating in the supernatural. If not, you can be a very good Christian but operates on what is called ordinary provision. I'm saying this knowing so well that in as much as we are saved and born again, we are flesh and blood, and we are still living in this world. Yes, we will go to heaven, but we are not going today and now. We are still here. We are in the world. But if we operate in the natural, which is flesh and blood, then we will be able to do any other thing that the world is doing. And if we do any other thing that the world is doing, then there will be no difference. But this night, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about operating or entering into the supernatural and operating in the supernatural. The devil, who is our enemy, his greatest attack is on two areas. And the first area is called the desires of the world. The desires of this world. Somebody may be wondering and asking, what are these that are the desires of this world? What it means is very simple. As we live in this world, there are things that we must have to live comfortably. We need food just like any other person who is not saved. Is that one true or not true? Yes. We need a house like somebody, just like somebody who is not saved. Yes, we need to have a good life. But what the devil does is to make the material blessings that the world offers a central desire. And he makes some people believe that if you obtain material blessings, then you don't need any other thing. Another thing is that he makes honor and recognition of this world an important goal. And everyone wants to achieve honor and recognition. There is a saying, there is something that happened in Kenya, and it has just become a common joke in the streets. Somebody who was in a high-ranking place went to a shopping mall, and the security guard wanted to inspect her. The security guard didn't know her. So she didn't expect that a person of her stature could be inspected by a security guard. So she touched her nose and told her, you should know people. People want to be recognized. Who doesn't want to be recognized? And many things are happening in the world now. Some are even happening here. Some are even happening in Africa. Don't think that it is different. That you may pause and ask yourself, why? And you will only come to one thing, that somebody would want to do something extraordinary to be recognized. Something completely out of anybody's thought to be recognized. I don't want to mention some of them because I might end up offending somebody. But I want to just give a small question at this point. The world, and you know what I mean if I say the world. That means the world of those who are not born again, the things they do outside salvation, wants to come into the church with a lot of force.
Yes.
And they want the church to accept and embrace.
That's right.
They are coming with a lot of force, with a lot of pressure. And they would want the church to accept and embrace. That if you want to operate and be accepted in the society, then you must operate on the ordinary. And another thing that we mean by the desires of this world is to make the comfort of being one with those of this world our basis of security. That we think if we become like everybody around us, then we are secure. And you will find Christians hiding in their cocoon to an extent that they don't want to even lift up their heads and tell somebody that I am born again and Jesus loves you, because they want to be like everybody. Let me tell you what happened to me when I went to a college. I loved the Lord. I was a young man on fire for Christ. And I, you know, the fire was burning in me, and I thought I could tell everybody about Christ. Then where I went for studies, it was very far away from my homeland. So the people of that area, they don't speak our language. In Kenya, there are so many tribes. So they don't speak our language. So I moved around the college. It was a very big college. The first day, everybody was speaking his or her language that I don't understand. But then very late in the evening, I find a young man and a young girl standing in a corridor somewhere, and they're speaking a language that I understand. Then I was very happy. I greeted them. And then the lady told me, my name is Patricia. Okay, fine. And then the man said his name. And then I said, I am Ben. I am born again. The lady laughed herself off. She laughed till the tears were just rolling down her chin. I didn't know why she was laughing. Then she lifted up her voice and said, was it a must for you to say that? Is it very important, by the way? What am I saying? The devil is trying to convince many Christians that being comfortable or being one with those in the world and operating like them and doing everything like them is some sort of civilization that gives security and gives acceptance. But I want to repeat, if we do everything and operate like them, then everything that happens to them will happen to us. If we expect anything different to happen to us, then we must ascend to a certain level, a spiritual level, which is higher than them. And before I finish this evening, I will let you know what happens if we get to the supernatural.
Amen.
And I want to remind you before I continue, because I want to carry these words along with you as you go. I have said, and the Holy Spirit is saying, that there are some situations in your life that whether you love the Lord so much, they will remain as they are until you start operating in a certain level. If you start operating in a certain level, then they will start changing. There are some things that you will be prayed for, but they remain the same as they are. Until you rise up spiritually and get into some spiritual level that is above everything that is happening, that you will see a difference. And it is called acting in the supernatural, operating in the supernatural. If the church wants to be comfortable and complacent and admit everything and be like everybody, then we should not expect anything different. I know many will not say amen to that, but those words will remain with you,
amen,
even as I go. The second area that the devil brings attack is the desire of the flesh. We are talking about two desires here. The desires of the world. Of the world means desiring to be like them. And then the desire of the flesh, which means the desires of your own body. The flesh has got its own desires. Do you remember? And if you don't remember, I want to remind you. It is written in the book of 1 John chapter number 2, verses 16 to 17. First John. The Epistle of John, 2:16 to 17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Amen. I want to remind you of the conversation that was in Eden in the book of Genesis chapter number 3 verse 6. And this is between the serpent and Eve. I want to take you back there a little bit. The first thing is that when Eve was shown the fruit, this was the first issue. It was good for food. Does the Bible say that?
Yeah.
It was good for food. That is the lust of the flesh. Because the flesh wants food. Who doesn't want food in this world? If you don't eat, you will die. We all want food. Even myself, who is speaking here, I need food. Why can some people go for prayer and fasting? Because they think if they fast, they will die. Because the flesh needs what? Food. So that is what is called the lust of the flesh. And I will not go deep. I will just mention them. He said, the fruit is good for food. Two, it was pleasing to the eyes. The lust of the eyes. One of the ways that the enemy is now destroying our young people, and even not just young people, is through the things that we see with our eyes. Because you know, what you see with your eyes gets into your brain. And if it sticks there, it might get into your heart. Is that one true?
Yeah.
So he told the fruit was pleasing to the eyes. And then it was desirable for gaining wisdom, which is the pride of life. People who have got knowledge have got some pride. People who think they act wisely have got some pride. And they tell people, I'm wise. I know what I'm doing. You know, leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. It is called the pride of life. But the same thing happens again in Luke when Jesus is being tempted by the devil. The devil comes and tells him, can you turn these stones into bread, which is the lust of the flesh? And then he says, I will give you all these kingdoms of the earth, which is the lust of the eyes. The Bible says he took him and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and told him, I can give you all this. And then lastly, he took him high to the pinnacle of the temple. Do you remember that? High to the pinnacle of the temple. I have seen people who would not just listen to the gospel about Jesus Christ, not because they are so evil, but because they are very high that they don't think they have anything to do with Jesus. They are very high that they don't think they can lower themselves down to come and listen to the gospel about Jesus Christ. It is called the lust of the flesh. But now, as if we are racing towards finishing, the only way out to this attack of the enemy, which comes through the lust or the desires of the world and the desires of the flesh, is the way out that Paul is outlining in the book of Galatians. And he's saying, walk in the Spirit. In other words, operate in the Spirit. Because if you operate from the flesh, if you operate from what everybody is saying in the world, if your life is governed by what the world is saying, and your life is governed with what your flesh wants, is governed with what your eyes see, or what is pleasing to your eyes, or your life is governed by the pride of life, by the pride in what you have and who you are, then you will just operate in the ordinary. But he's saying walk in the Spirit, operate in the Spirit. Now I have to bring this home. Meaning of walking in the Spirit is releasing yourself to the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit takes over, takes the control. Hallelujah. The reason why many people are not being led by the Spirit of God is that they want the Spirit to live in them, but they want to control their own life. They want to live, they want to walk, they want to talk, they want to do things as they wish. Yes. And they would want the Holy Spirit to follow them. It is not that the Holy Spirit is not in them. The Holy Spirit is in them, but they don't want the Holy Spirit to lead them. Yeah. They want to lead their lives, yeah, and the Holy Spirit follow. Mm-hmm. Oh, this night, it is not all about Jesus' healing, doing that. This night, it is a little bit deeper. Walking in the Spirit, which in its sense means operating in the supernatural. Because when you get into the Spirit, you get into the supernatural. Uh-huh. If you get into the Holy Spirit, if you start walking in the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to take over, allowing the Holy Spirit to take charge, then you will stop operating in the natural and you start operating in the supernatural. Therefore, Paul is giving an answer. That walk ye in the Holy Spirit, so that you may not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The only way to transcend and ascend and go beyond the desires of your flesh is to allow the Holy Spirit to take over.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Is to surrender and say, Lord, here I am. Spirit of God, talk to me. Let me tell you this, church. I have had friends. I have never known a closer, a sweeter, a better friend than the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let me tell you another thing. I have discovered in my life that there is no area of my life that the Holy Spirit will not have to speak to me.
Hallelujah.
He speaks in all the areas of my life.
Amen.
And in Him, I find my freedom.
Yes.
Yes.
In Him, I find my freedom.
Hallelujah.
Yes, when I walk, I'm not scared. Because when I'm just about to step on the scorpions, the Holy Spirit will tell me, don't lift your foot. One day, I was supposed to be going to Kisumu. And we woke up in the morning and prayed. And my wife left to go to the center where the children are and told me, bye-bye, we will meet in the evening. But after I had put on my clothes and I wanted to leave, the Holy Spirit told me, no. I just had a voice saying, no. I didn't know why. And I forced myself. You know, there are sometimes that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you force yourself. So I forced myself. And I got out of the bedroom and went up to the sitting room. And then I just thought of a young man who is my son in the Lord. And he got a new job in the radio station called KBC. And I switched the channel on and sat down on the chair to watch him a minute before I left, because I had promised him that I will watch him that morning when he was interviewing a certain politician. Do you know what happened? I didn't watch for 2 minutes. I went asleep. And I slept for over 2 hours. And when I woke up, I was late for Kisumu. The Holy Spirit, who knows everything, knew what was waiting ahead of me. And He helped me. I didn't get into it. Now, I've run out of time. Now, what happens when you start walking in the Spirit? Number one, as I move very fast, and praise and worship, get yourself ready. Number one, Acts chapter number 1, verse 8, that I will not read, but you can read at home. When we start operating in the Spirit, this is what happens. Acts chapter number 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, starting with Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the end of the earth. When you start operating and allow the Holy Spirit to operate in you, then it will not be you. It will be the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit is the power of God that manifests Himself in the children of God.
Amen.
And brings the kingdom down for those who do not know God to see God in those people who believe in God. I don't know whether I said anything. Because the Holy Spirit is the power that brings down the kingdom of God into those who believe in God.
Yes.
So that God may manifest Himself
in
those who believe in Him.
Yes.
That those who do not know Him may see and know Him through what He's doing in those who believe in Him.
Amen.
He is the power. And when the Holy Spirit is in operation, all other spirits must be silent. Hallelujah. Even if they are the spirits of Illuminati, devil worshiping, every spirit that is contrary to the knowledge of God, when the Holy Spirit rises up to operate, they are silenced.
Amen.
Another thing, when we start operating in the supernatural, in the spirit, then the words of John in Revelation chapter number 1, verse 9 to 10 and 12 comes into effect. What did he say? He said, I, your brother. I like those words. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the spirit. Hallelujah. Was on the island that is Patmos. Can you scroll up? Call Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Can you scroll on? I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And what happened when I was there? I heard a voice. When you get into the spiritual realm, you hear a voice. You don't hear voices. Oh, I beg your pardon. You hear a voice. You don't hear voices. I heard a voice. Not a voice from the radio broadcast. Not a voice bringing news from television. I heard a voice from the throne. When you start operating in the spirit, you hear from the kingdom. Because you get connected. Hallelujah. You get connected. And he says, I heard a voice. And then verse 22, what does it say? Oh, I must end it there. How sweet is it? I love this church. I love these people. God is so good. And we thank him. He will bring another time operating in the supernatural. And then in verse 12, he says, and I saw the seven churches. I saw. The first thing, I heard a voice. When you start operating in the supernatural, you start hearing what any other person around you is not hearing. Yeah, when you start operating in the spirit, you hear what any other person around you is not hearing. When you start operating in the supernatural, you see what any other person around you is not seeing until they switch on. And I want to bring good news to you. God will only change your circumstances and your environment by changing you first. Before he changes you, he will change nothing. Because we say that man can remove you from a slum. Do you know what a slum is? S-L-U-M. Oh, there are no slums here. Man can remove you from a slum, but God can remove a slum from you. Leave you in the same place, change you, and use you to change that place. People have told me, oh, my husband is unbearable. The only thing, if I want to have peace, I need to have another husband. Oh, my wife is unbearable. Ah, the only thing I can do to have peace, I need to have another wife. Let me tell you, God will not remove you from the slum. I'm sorry. He will only remove the slum from you and then use you to change your circumstance and your situation. Some people tell me, Pastor, my family is very bad. Very wicked. Witches. They are bad. Very wicked. So what do you want us to do? You want to die and resurrect so that you resurrect in another family? Oh, my dear. You are born there. Aha. The only thing that can happen is that where you are, allow the spirit to start operating in you. Then when the spirit starts operating in you, the spirit of God will remove the curse from you in the same place and use you to deliver your brothers and sisters that are dying in the curse. When you start operating in the supernatural, many things change. And you may forget everything, but don't forget this. When you start operating in the supernatural, you start hearing a voice. then you start seeing what you were not seeing before. Before John heard and saw, his natural eyes were removed. There is a time that when we are operating in the supernatural, we see things that people are not seeing. That's why I said here in the afternoon in the service that faith is seeing what people are not seeing. But the secret that you may not know and you should know now, the author of our faith is the Holy Spirit. It is impossible for you to have faith that will please God if you operate in the natural. It is the Holy Spirit that is the author of the faith. My dear friends, praise and worship, please come up. When you start operating in the supernatural, you start understanding why things are happening the way they are happening. Those questions that you are asking, why me? God, why me? Why this way? Why has it been happening like this? My friend, can you stop those questions? Then allow the Holy Spirit to start operating in you, the Holy Spirit to consume you, and the Holy Spirit to take over your life. Amen. Then the Holy Spirit will answer those questions. There was a lady called Esther. She was one of our church leaders in another assembly, not where I am serving as a pastor. This lady, her first husband died. When they were married and she had only one child, who is a daughter. That is normal. People lose their husbands. Is it not normal? It is. It happens every time. Then she got married to another man who is a cousin to the dead husband, and that man also died. And then after they had given birth to three children, and then this lady came to my office where I meet people on Tuesdays. And then she told me, Pastor, I can't understand. I don't know what is happening. Then I looked at her right into her eyes. And then I asked her, what do you want me to do? Pastor, pray with me. Then I told her, I'm not praying now, but there is something I want you to do. Please, is your mom still alive? Yes. Please, would you go back and ask your mom whether such a thing had happened in your family? Then after 3 weeks, she got back to me. And then she told me, Pastor, my eyes are now opened. I went back and my mother told me that my grandmother, who is her mother, gave birth to her. And then my grandfather died. And my mother was married to another man. So the siblings, the brothers and sisters to my mother, they are not from the same father. Then, when my mother became of age, she was married, gave birth to me, and then my father died. I was the only girl. My father died. And then my mother was married to another man. So those people that I call my brothers are not from the same father. But it started way back. Then when I got married, I gave birth to a baby girl, and my husband died. And I was now married to another man. I told her, it has to stop here and now, because your eyes have been opened now. You know what is happening. But it must stop here and now. And we are saying, your daughter will not go through the same thing.
Amen.
We have to stop it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
What I'm saying, when you start operating in the supernatural, you will hear, you will see, and you will understand. Can you stand up on your feet? May the Lord bless this church. And may God help somebody tonight to have a desire of just moving out of the boat.
Amen.
And move from your comfort zone.
Amen.
And get into the waters of the operation of the Holy Spirit. And tonight I want to give you an opportunity. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is present. I want to just give you this time to say, Holy Spirit, here I am. Take over. Take control. Start operating in my life. It is not that the Holy Spirit is not in you. You have not just given him time to operate. Tell him, Holy Spirit, I want you to take over. As these dear ones will be leading us in a song, and we will all join, and we will lift up our hands before God. Please, you can go.